Chapter 5. One of the brightest wealth has bred. It cannot hurter now, apostrophe he said, that I should not be true. Apostrophe, then who is digging on my grave? My nearest dearest kin? H, no, they sit and think, what use? What good will planting flowers produce? No tendons of her mound can loose her spirit from death's gin. Apostrophe, but someone digs upon my grave? My enemy? Prodding sly? A. When she heard you had passed the gate that shuts on all flesh soon or late, she thought you no more worth her hate, and cares not where you lie. Then, who is digging on my grave? Say, since I have not guessed. It is I, my mistress dear, your little dog, who still lives near, and much I hope my movements here have not disturbed your rest. Ah, yes. You dig upon my grave. Why flashed it, not on me that one true heart was left behind. What feeling do we ever find to equal among humankind a dog's fidelity? Mistress, I dug upon your grave to bury a bone, in case I should be hungry near this spot, when passing on my daily trot. I am sorry, but I quite forgot it was your resting place. Satires of Circumstances in 15 Glimpses. I at tea, the kettle descants in a cozy drone, and the young wife looks in her husband's face, and then at her guests, and shows in her own her sense, that she fills an envied place, and the visiting lady is all abloom, and says there was never so sweet a room. And the happy young housewife does not know that the woman beside her was first his choice, till the fates ordained it could not be so. Betraying nothing in look or voice, the guest sits smiling and sips her tea, and he throws her a stray glance yearningly. Two in church, and now to God the Father, he ends, and his voice thrills up to the topmost tiles. Each listener chokes as he bows and bends, and emotion pervades the crowded aisles. Then the preacher glides to the vestry door and shuts it, and thinks he is seen no more. The door swings softly ajar meanwhile, and a pupil of his in the Bible class, who adores him as one without gloss or guile, sees her idol stand with a satisfied smile and reenact at the vestry glass each pulpit gesture in deft dumb show, that it moved the congregation so. Three by her aunt's grave, sixpence a week, says the girl to her lover, and used to bring me, for she could confide in me alone, she vowed. Was to cover the cost of her headstone when she died. And that was a year ago last June. I've not yet fixed it. But I must soon. And where is the money now, my dear? Oh, snug in my purse. Aunt was so slow in saving it 80 weeks, or near. Let's spend it, he hints. Or she won't know. There's a dance tonight at the load of hay. She passively nods. And they go that way. Ivy in the room of the bride-elect, would it have been the man of our wish? Sighs her mother, to whom with vehemence she in the wedding dress the wife, to be then why were you so mollyish as not to insist on him for me? The mother, amazed. Hi, dearest one, because you pleaded for this or none. But father and you should have stood out strong. Since then, to my cost, I have lived to find that you were right and that I was wrong. This man is a dolt to the one declined. Here he comes with his buttonhole rose. Good God, I must marry him, I suppose. Via the watering place, they sit and smoke on the esplanade, the man and his friend, and regard the bay, where the far chalk cliffs, to the left displayed, smile sallowly in the decline of day, and saunterers pass with laugh and jest a handsome couple among the rest. That smart proud pair, says the man to his friend, are to marry next week. How little he thinks that dozens of days and nights on end I have stroked her neck, unhooked the links of her sleeve to get at her upper arm. Well, bliss is in ignorance. What's the harm? Why in the cemetery, you see those mothers squabbling there? Remarks the man of the cemetery. One says in tears, 'tis mine lies here. Another, nay, mine, you Pharisee. Another, how dare you move my flowers, and put your own on this grave of ours? ...... but all their children were laid there at different times, like sprats in a tin. And then the main drain had to cross, and we moved the lot some nights ago, and packed them away in the general fuss with hundreds more. But their folks don't know, and as well cry over a new laid drain as anything else, to ease your pain. Fly outside the window, my stick, he says, and turns in the lane to the house just left, whence a vixen voice comes out with the firelight through the pane, and he sees within, that the girl of his choice stands rating her mother with eyes aglare for something said, while he was there. At last I behold her soul undraped. Thinks the man who had loved her more than himself. My God, 'tis but narrowly I have escaped. My precious porcelain proves itself. His face has reddened like one ashamed, and he steals off, leaving his stick unclaimed. V in the study, he enters, and mute on the edge of a chair, sits a thin-faced lady, a stranger there, a type of decayed gentility, and by some small signs he well can guess, that she comes to him almost breakfastless. I have called, I hope I do not err, I am looking for a purchaser of some score volumes of the works of eminent divines I own, left by my father, though it irks my patience to offer them. And she smiles, as if necessity were unknown. But the truth of it is that often whiles I have wished, as I am fond of art, to make my rooms a little smart. And lightly still she laughs to him, as if to sell, were a mere gay whim, and that, to be frank, life were indeed to her not vinegar and gall, but fresh and honey-like, and need no household skeleton at all. Ix at the altar rail, my bride is not coming, alas, says the groom, and the telegram shakes in his hand. Own it was hurried. We met at a dancing room, when I went to the cattle show alone, and then, next night, where the fountain leaps, and the street of the quarter circle sweeps. She won me to ask her to be my wife. 'Twas foolish, perhaps, to forsake the ways of the flaring town for a farmer's life. She agreed, and we fixed it. Now she says, it's sweet of you, dear, to prepare me a nest, but a swift, short, gay life suits me best. What I really am you have never gleaned. I had eaten the apple ere you were weaned. X in the nuptial chamber, oh that mastering tune! And up in the bed like a lace-robed phantom springs the bride. And why? Asks the man as he had that day wed, with a start, as the band plays on outside. It's the townsfolk's cheery compliment, because of our marriage, my innocent. Oh, but you don't know. 'Tis the passionate air to which my old love waltzed with me, and I swore as we spun that none should share my home, my kisses, till death, save he. And he dominates me, and thrills me through, and it's he I embrace while embracing you. Zion the restaurant, but here. If you stay, and the child be born, it will pass as your husband's with the rest, while, if we fly, the teeth of scorn will be gleaming at us from east to west, and the child will come as a life despised. I feel an elopement is ill-advised. Oh, you realize not what it is, my dear, to a woman. Daily and hourly alarms lest the truth should out. How can I stay here, and nightly take him into my arms? Come to the child, no name or fame, let us go, and face it, and bear the shame. Sigh at the drapers, I stood at the back of the shop, my dear, but you did not perceive me. Well, when they deliver what you were shown I shall know nothing of it, believe me. And he coughed and coughed as she paled and said, comma, I didn't see you come in there, why couldn't you speak? L, I didn't. I left that you should not notice I'd been there. You were viewing some lovely things. Soon required for a widow, of latest fashion. And I knew 'twould upset you to meet the man who had to be cold, and a Shen. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.